What's going on, Gateway City Church? How you doing this morning? Can we clap it out, thank our worship team and everybody who's served? Can we all clap it out together? Let's thank everybody who's been serving. Amen. It's great to be together. My name is Kevin. As Vince introduced me a few moments ago, this is my beautiful wife, Clarissa. And clap for her. Thank you. So it's Mission Sunday, right? And part of why we're here is we were the closest living missionaries to St. Louis. You needed to bring someone foreign. We're from Canada, and we heard you guys need Jesus, so we're missionaries to America, and they brought us down. How's that? Does that work? We heard you need Jesus down here, and so we're here, yeah. It's been such a fantastic few days being here with some of the folks here in the church. We met with the staff on Friday. We actually got some time. Where are the teens at? Yeah, we had a great time. Can we give it up for the teen ministry, the youth and family ministry, the eighth graders? They stepped up from eighth grade into being their incoming freshman. What a great time there. But I'll just say a couple things real quick. First of all, we love the Hawkins so much. And Vince and I, our friendship is very special, as he shared. And I know we feel the same way about Vince and Robin. We worked with the church in Kansas City just down the road for a few years, down the 70 over there. And our partnership with them and our friendship, honestly, is just a treasure for us. Vince and I, we're different dudes. He's a football player from the South. I'm a hockey player from Canada, but we love Jesus, and that's all you need, right? And so we've forged our friendship on a lot of just times together and partnering together. I think you guys know this, but this church is very blessed to have Vince and Robin leading and serving. Amen. They obviously, what you see day to day is they serve here, they minister here, they pastor here, they lead the leadership here. But they do a very similar thing with the Heartland churches. That's four different states, right? That's Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Arkansas is the fourth. So four states. And then, because, you know, they're just bored and they have nothing to do, just joking, they also help the other groups around North America do the same thing. I'll just tell you, we've been in different places. I'll share a little bit about our story, but wherever we are, people are just so grateful for the serving hearts of Vince and Robin. Can we just really acknowledge them again? Thank them for all they do. Bro, you're a true friend. We're so grateful for you. Also, the Hammers are here. How about the Hammers, right? Yeah. They are a Canadian and a married to a Canadian, which makes them very Canadian. They are a national treasure in Canada. There are plaques. I mean, you walk down the city roads in Toronto, you see pictures of them. They are celebrities. I told a few folks who were coming here, and not everybody knew that the Hammers had moved to St. Louis. And most people were like, wait, the Hawkins and the Hammers are in St. Louis? And I was like, oops. You guys better keep that on the down low. Like, people were like, what kind of cheat code do they have in St. Louis that they have both couples here? But seriously, we're so grateful for them. They've had such an impact on Canada, the churches there, the Christians there. So great to spend time with them as well. I'm going to pass to Clarissa. She's going to say a little bit of an update about her family.
Good morning, everyone. It is so wonderful to be with you. It has already been so heartwarming and so encouraging, just this time of worship. And I just think so much about in the book of Revelations where it talks about the different churches. And I think that if God was writing about the St. Louis church, he would say that this is a loving, warm, encouraging church that loves God so much. I look around and I see a group of faithful Christians, no matter how old you are, whether you just stepped up in the teen ministry, whether you've been walking with Jesus for years, your faith is so evident just from being around you. And we are so grateful for all of you. From our time in Kansas City and being part of the amazing Heartland family of churches, which we miss dearly, one of the reputations of the St. Louis Church is one of incredible generosity. You have to know, Vince, there's not enough time to share the impact of everything you have given, the lives that have been changed and are happening even right now. Lives are being changed because of your generosity. And so we feel so honored to be able to celebrate missions with you and all that the church here has contributed over the years. So we're really grateful for that. Do we have a picture of our family? Okay, so real quick, I'm going to do a quick intro. So this is our family. So we have two wonderful children. This was actually taken at a wedding a couple years ago. Gabrielle was actually a bridesmaid, and her friend got married, you know, kind of a little young, and we were like, don't you go getting any ideas, girlfriend. But so Gabrielle is currently a sophomore. She's going to be a junior, actually, in the fall at the University of Denver in Colorado, where she's studying, University of Colorado, Denver. She is studying psychology, and Carson is currently finishing off his junior year of high school, and we're very proud of both of them. They're actually going to spend some time in Alaska this summer serving, so we're very excited about that. So, and we're also grateful because they both became disciples in the Heartland, so shout out to Heartland Youth Camp and just all of the amazing servants who plan such awesome events for our teens all across the Heartland.
I see there's like emojis going up on the screen and stuff. That's cool. Yeah, I'll know we're doing well if I see like all these like balloons and yeah. What was that? What happened? Did I miss it? Oh gosh. Okay, now I'm scared. All right. If you would just open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We'll get there in a moment. The title of the sermon this morning is very simply this: Through the Storm. Through the storm. You notice it's not in the storm. It's not overcome by the storm. Through the storm. Has anybody been through a challenging season in their life? And if you're not saying yes, I just say stick around a little while. It's coming, right? Right? But we go through many challenges, many trials, many storms. And so for the next few minutes, and I'll reference this passage. You can jot this down. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Just says, because we love you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And there's something about certainly hearing the gospel preached, and we want to share how the scriptures have helped us during this last season. But we also want to share our lives with you. And we want you to know that things, as Vince said, things have not always been going just great. We've had some challenging seasons in this last stretch, but we're here to tell the story, amen? Yeah. We're here to tell God's story and how he's led us through the storm. My hope is wherever you're at, that it will connect with your faith and help you as either you're navigating a storm or as you navigate a storm in this life. You know, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for some of us to see. Miracles kind of show us just in these drop-down moments how incredible God is. And so we're going to look at a miracle here in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to be reading. Are we good with the Word of God here at church this morning? We do a little Bible study, amen? Okay, I'm a throwback, so you can jump right in. You can say amen. You can say preach it. You can say, camp on that and preach, bro. You don't have to say that. That actually takes a long time to say. But I'm okay with interaction. Let's do this. Mark chapter 4, it says this in verse 35. That day, when evening came, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I love that. They didn't love that, but I love that. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Okay, This is a story. If you've been in church for a while, you probably have heard this reference. If you're visiting with us and this is your first time here, second time here, you may have not heard this story in Scripture. It's a powerful, powerful example of Jesus just kind of coming up from a nap and doing something that people hadn't seen before. And so they're in the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. And it sat 700 feet below sea level, surrounded by hills, which created interesting weather patterns. So a storm coming out of nowhere was kind of a thing. But these guys, most of them, were comfortable on the water. A lot of them were on boats. They were fishermen. So it tells us this wasn't just any storm. This was probably like a really scary storm, right? And so this is coming in, and while that's happening, Jesus says, is taking a nap on a cushion in the back of the boat. I think it's probably like one of those beanbag chairs. I mean, you know, full contour or whatever, you know, that type of thing. But he needed some rest, right? So at this point, Jesus had already done some miracles. The disciples had already seen him do some pretty incredible things. However, even though he had healed the sick, he'd cast out demons, verse 38, their question was, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Isn't that so real? Yep. We've seen God do incredible things. We've seen God show up for us in ways that are like, oh my goodness, that's only God. Only God could do that. And then you find yourself in another challenging situation, and you're like, God, do you still care about me? Do you still want what's best for me? And we can actually, at times, forget about even the things he's done in our own life by sight, leading to that point, and that's where they were. So the disciples had already seen the miracles, but now they're facing a personal crisis, and they panicked, and they completely forgot who it was that was in the boat with them that day. You know, if we're honest, I think we can all be tempted to ask a similar question when things are going challenging in our lives. Jesus, don't you see this storm that I'm going through that's taking over my life right now? Jesus, don't you care about me? Why are you letting me go through this? And something that I've learned, just like the disciples out there in the boat that day, is that when we ask these types of questions, we're usually questioning two things. We're either questioning Jesus' love or we're questioning Jesus' power. Sometimes it's both. Do you love me enough to help me get through what I'm going through? Or are you powerful enough to get me through what I'm going through? Or do you not love me enough and you're not powerful enough to get me through what I'm going through? Either way, it's a trust issue. It's a faith issue. Are you with me on that? Does Jesus care enough? Is he powerful enough? You know, the storm comes up and we see this happening. Jesus is asleep and the disciples are afraid. They're anxious. And they're like, Jesus, don't you care about what's happening? You know, as Vince shared, our family's gone through some storms over these past few years. And honestly, there's times where there's one storm, but then it kind of bumps into another storm. And then where'd that third storm come from, right? And it stopped raining, but then then the hail started coming. And then, wait, a tornado, right? Sorry, too soon. Sorry. Yeah, I know, right? But right, I'm saying, like, you're just like, what happened here in our lives? That's been a lot of the last few years. Clarissa's going to share a little bit about some of the storms we've been navigating.
Thank you. So I'm going to share about a couple of things that we went through a few years ago. So I think we all remember that little thing we went through called COVID. Does anybody remember that whole thing? Okay. So I vividly remember what a challenging time it was for so many of us. You know, we're hearing stories around the world of like just people really sick, people dying. Like it was just like it's crazy to think we lived through that actually. So while that's all happening in the backdrop, our family began to experience some very intense trials. So Kevin had four brothers and lost one about 7 years ago, his youngest brother, who was only 23 years old. So that was, I don't know, I think we're still grieving that, to be honest with you. And then in 2020, I will always remember this, we were at the grocery store, Kevin was pushing the cart, and do you remember when you had to like fight with people over toilet paper? Like you're like, move over, like, let me grab that last thing of toilet paper. Okay, so I'm just setting the scene here, okay? So we're at the grocery store, we're elbowing our way, trying to get some toilet paper, and Kevin's phone rings, and I'm like looking over at him, and his face just fell. And I was like, something is wrong. something is not okay. So he gets off the phone, and I was like, "What? Who was that? What happened?" And it turns out that it was his younger brother, Aaron. He's the oldest, and this is his brother that he's closest to. And he said, "Aaron just told me that he found out that he has cancer." And we were like, "Oh my gosh! Like I don't even know what to do with that." And so that was, it was so difficult. You know, I think, with your siblings, like again, you just think like we're in this together, like we're gonna like you live these long lives together and go through life together and all this stuff. Like this, it just felt so wrong. And so I think, you know, we're just processing that together. So that was in like March, and then July, I get a call from my younger sister. And it's the same news. She's like, in Filipino, you call your older sister ate. And she's like, I have to tell you something. And I could tell already again, I was like, oh no. You know those phone calls? Yeah, it was one of those phone calls. And she's like, I have to tell you something. I just got some results back from tests and I just found out that I have cancer. And I was like, what? Like, just, I was just in shock, you know? And like Kevin was saying, like, it's one thing to go through one storm, but has that ever happened to you before where now the storms, it's one thing and then another thing and another thing? You start to get to this place where you're like, okay, like, I don't actually know if I can get through this. Like, this is really overwhelming. Our faith was so challenged. And so I think just looking back on that time, I can so honestly tell you that I felt like the disciples were like, Jesus, like, hello, like, are you seeing what's going on over here? Like, do you not care? And so I remember going for a prayer walk, and I don't know if any of you have ever had like one of those Garden of Gethsemane moments, like Jesus, where you're like, okay, I'm seeing it's clear that God's will is for me to go through this, but do I want to go through this? Not really. Like, if I could write the script differently, I would. So I'm going for prayer walks because literally at that point, I'm just like, it's the Psalms and prayer walks are just like our survival, you know, coping, whatever, just to get through. And so I remember this particular time I'm walking. This is like maybe a year later now. So our siblings are still battling cancer. And so I remember saying to God in my prayer time, I said, God, I'm just letting you know, I trust you, but like, I just really feel like I cannot handle another thing. Like another thing is just gonna break me. And so shortly after praying that, our daughter gets really sick. She was sick for months. We brought her in and out of the ER. She lost a bunch of weight. She started losing all of her hair. She was so weak, Kevin had to carry her from her bedroom downstairs. She couldn't even get down the stairs. And we were so afraid. We're like, what is going on? And so she ultimately got admitted to the hospital, and we ended up finding out that she had a chronic illness, like an autoimmune condition. And honestly, I don't even know what to tell you. My fight or flight response was kicking in so hard. I wanted to run away so far. I did not want to accept that this was our reality. But most importantly, if I'm honest, and I don't know if any of you have ever experienced before, I kind of felt abandoned by God. In that moment, I was like, I don't get it, God. I just prayed that you would, you know that I don't think I can handle another thing. So why would you bring this other storm into our lives? And it was something that as we look back now, we were going to have to wrestle with. And as Kevin said, these storms honestly do really force us to look deep and go, am I going to trust you, Jesus?
Thanks, Bill. In verse 39, it says, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. Quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. You know, we can't skip over, like, this is awesome. Like, what would have this been like to see firsthand? Like, it wasn't a gradual calming of the storm. It was a storm that just whoop, and was gone. For a moment there, you'd be like, what just happened? You know, it's interesting. At the end of this passage, it talks about how the disciples had a lot of fear through this passage. Their fear started, it was based on the storm. Towards the end of the passage, it talks about how they had fear. That was because of Jesus. And there was it's a different word used for fear. That's a fear because you had an interaction with something bigger than what you see. It's a God-type fear. And so they had fear now because they're like, who does that? In Hebrew tradition, only God commands the weather. They knew that, right? Psalm 107:29, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Job 38:11, this far you may come, and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. Only God does that. So they saw it. That would have been something. And so this was a miracle. It was incredible, but it was also a revelation that, okay, he is who he says he is. There's a lot going on there. Just a couple observations. First of all, Jesus led them into the storm. He's the one that led that process for them to be in the storm. That's something to process and think about. It tells us that uncertainty doesn't mean it's outside of God's will. You might not be sure about it. It doesn't mean it's outside of God's will, though. Amen? Secondly, Jesus was with them in the storm. He was with them the whole time. He never left them. And that tells us that his proximity at times can feel like he's far away from us, but he's always there. Sometimes we feel like you're too far away, Jesus, and maybe we feel like the pillow in the back of the boat's too far, but he was always with them. And then lastly, what I observed from this is Jesus had power over the storm the whole time. He was never overwhelmed. He was never surprised. He was the Lord, even when things were silent. And I think it's a real lesson for us that the wind comes up in our life. The waves come up in our life. The storms come up in our life. But we serve the one who commands the winds and the waves and the storms. Can we say amen to that, brothers and sisters? Amen. That's Jesus. That's who we follow. I got one point that I'd like to share with you. I'm a one-point preacher. Yeah. And here it is. Here's the point. You got to grow through what you go through. Say it with me. You got to grow through what you go through. There's a slight chance you might remember that after lunch. If there's one point, you might remember it. If there's 8 points and they spell something, I don't know. Maybe. But my simple point for us this morning is you've got to grow through what you go through. And God allows us to go through some things. Sometimes what we're going through is a storm that we didn't see happening, we didn't see coming our way. But what he wants us to do is grow. You know, it's been said that challenges are mandatory, but growth is optional. Challenges are mandatory, it's going to happen, but growth is optional. There are mountains and there are valleys. There are highways and there are byways. But in the storm and beyond the storm, what we see time and again is that God is completely in control in our lives. I want to read one more passage, Romans 8. Another passage I feel like I've needed to cling to during this last season, Romans chapter 8, three verses, verse 28 through 30. I want to explain how this works a little bit. Romans 8, 28 to 30, it says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Each one of us is known by God. He foreknew us. He expected us. He knew all the circumstances of our lives. And he called us through Jesus to be justified. Wiping out our sin. If you're a disciple, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you repented of your sin, you got baptized, completely justified. That was part of that plan. And if you've not made that decision, I highly recommend it. It's the best decision you can make in this life. But therein lies the tension in your life and my life, because the scripture says that God is trying to glorify us by what? By conforming us to the likeness of Jesus. Why do I go through challenging times? Why do you go through challenging times? Because God is doing something. God is trying to bring us through that storm stronger, more faithful, more resilient, more reliant on him. Let's be honest. If I don't go through tough things, I don't get conformed to Jesus the way that God wants me to be. And this might sound real simple, but for me to be conformed to Jesus, for me to be more like Jesus, I've got to be less like Kevin. And Kevin likes comfort. Kevin's not picking any storms. I don't want to be there on the boat. I want to be fishing. That fishing's cool, but not the storm stuff. So I need to be less like me, more like Jesus. And so, of course, he's going to allow these storms to come into my life. It's for my good. It doesn't always feel like it's for my good. And we might not understand it in real time, but he's doing something. And so our task, our responsibility, brothers and sisters, is to grow through what we go through. Calista's going to share one more time here.
So, you know, I think about this idea of growing and growth, and it's spring and things are blooming. And we were talking earlier with some of the sisters about, you know, our gardens. And I think us growing, as Kevin said, is our choice. We can choose to grow through the things that we go through. And I do not have enough time to share with you all of the lessons that God has taught us. But I will say this. The fact that we're still standing here today, faithful, trusting God, is only by his mercy and by his grace. Amen. We can clap for that, because that is the power of God on full display in our lives. We learned so much. I think when you go through things, God grows you in your empathy and compassion for others. You know, just this morning, like a sister and I were connecting about our shared loss and the grief that we experience. When you've been on the grief journey, you relate to others who've been on the grief journey. When you have a child going through illness, sickness, challenges, you can relate to those in a very special way, in a way that others who haven't been through that cannot. And so that is one of the things that we really, really saw God do during that time. I learned personally in my walk with God that my mess and my doubts and my fears were not overwhelming for God. He could handle them. He could handle me coming to him in a messy place with a mustard seed, littler than a mustard seed of faith. And he was like, I'm not overwhelmed by that. I got you, as Kevin said. I'm with you. And it comforted me. It carried me through, and it strengthened me in ways that I cannot even explain. It is literally just a divine process that God does of meeting you where you're at and holding your hand and just saying, I'm with you. I'm carrying you. So I want to just pivot a little bit and share about the amazing things that God did, because you are going to be in awe when I share with you about what he did with each of those situations. Okay, I'm going to start with this picture down here. Kevin's brother was diagnosed with testicular cancer. He did a lot of treatment, and when he had his last scan, this was going to be the scan when they gave him an all clear and said, we'll see you again in a year. Thank God they did it. They realized the cancer had spread to his lymph nodes. So he went through a six-hour surgery to get all the cancer out. With that type of cancer, the chances of being able to have a child decrease significantly. But I want you to look at this miracle, because this is God's power on display. And this is his baby girl, Ava. Praise God. And you know, Kevin's brother, he's not always like someone who wants to talk about God all the time. But in that time, I saw Kevin really bond with him and pray with him. And you know what? We believe that God is working in his life. And we are just so grateful. And that's my beautiful sister-in-law, Mallory. Okay, so the picture in the right corner is Gabrielle. So this was not too long ago, but this is her in her happy place, Alaska, and her other happy place, her boyfriend, Joseph, who's also a college student. He is in Oklahoma. But I give that snapshot. I'm not sharing this to say, oh, everything's just going to be great. Whatever you're going through, God's going to work it out. It's going to be awesome. Because sometimes doesn't that kind of make you struggle? When you're like, okay, but my story is not over yet. I'm glad for you that you got a happy ending. I'm still in the storms. I am not trying in any way to minimize what you're going through, because whatever you're going through is real. But I share this because we want to give glory to God, because he is so amazing. And when you think something is impossible, he just shows up and shows you everything is possible with me. And so I think about Gabrielle today. She still struggles with her health. Her health journey is not over, but it is managed. She's the strongest person I know, and we are so proud of her. And honestly, God is really working, and he's got her health good enough to a point where she can be that far away from us and still be thriving in college. And so we are so grateful for that. And then last but not least, this is a tough one. My sister didn't make it. So my sister and I both got baptized a week apart in 2001. My very first church service that I got invited to, I said, like, Ro, I really want you to come. And so we, started off our spiritual journeys together. And then, you know what? My sister went through some challenges, and she wandered away from God, thinking, like, I'm going to do it my way. And I remember when she got really sick, you know, we didn't want to leave Kansas City. We love the church there so much. But when we found out she might only have 6 months left, I remember Kevin, who was such a rock, say to me, like, you need to go home, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I think I do. Like, my sister is my best friend. Like, my sister was like my person, you know? I just was like, God, like, I don't understand. Like, you can't take her away from me. And I just remember, when we were moving back, our son was in high school, in the middle of high school. And all you who have kids, like, you know, that is not the time to move your kids, right? In the middle of high school, right, teens? Not a good idea, right? But we said to him, I remember sitting in the car, I was driving him to basketball practice, and I said, Carson, like, Auntie Ro is not doing well, and they're saying, like, she might not have that much time. Like, what do you think? Like, I know this is really hard time to move you. And he said, Mom, he goes, maybe the reason that God is sending us home is because we're supposed to help her to get restored. And I just wept. I just lost it. I was like, thank you for saying that, because maybe that is God's plan. Maybe that is what we're supposed to do. And so for the next 6 months, switching off with my parents, we took care of my sister and basically, like, watched her die. It was the hardest thing I've ever been through in my life. And any of you who've maybe experienced that, you know that there is no greater challenge than watching someone you love slowly kind of drift away. And I remember saying to Kevin, you know, I feel like I'm just so focused on taking care of her physically. I don't have the capacity right now to help her, like, spiritually, to, like, you know, do Bible studies with her and things like that. We were having great talks, and I said, will you come and help me? You know, can we do Bible studies, pray with her, and help her be restored? So Kevin did that. He came in as, you know, the brother, you know, big bro, and just, like, really shared scripture with her. And I just want to share one thing. We really saw her heart change, and this was, like, the last time that she could really speak. After this, it was just a whisper, or you couldn't even understand what she was saying. But Kevin said, Ro, we see your heart. God loves you. He's never stopped loving you. And if you want to be with him, like, that's it. You just decide, you know, that you are sorry for the things you've done. Like, you want to be reconciled to him. And, like, we feel so confident, like, you're going to be with him in heaven. And we stood around her hospital bed, and we held hands, and she prayed the most beautiful prayer. With her last words, they were spent in prayer to God. And it was a powerful and beautiful moment. And I am just grateful, as Linda shared yesterday, she's in God's hands.
So challenges are mandatory, but growing through those challenges is optional. And so, brothers and sisters, whether you're in a storm, maybe you're going to be in a storm, at some point or another, we all want to get through that storm, but we got to grow through what we go through, trusting that God is the one that's leading us. Jesus was the one who led him into the storm. He was the one that was with him all the way through the storm, and he was the one that had the power over the storm. Amen. Thank you for letting us be with you this morning. It's really, really exciting to be able to share God's word. Amen.